You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A couple of weeks ago, the government faced a lot of backlash after announcing that many parts of the public sector would face a wage freeze. The government says they want to promote equity in the public sector by increasing the wages of some of the lowest earners. However, critics of the policy say that insufficient pay may lead workers to move to the private sector or overseas. I spoke to Dr. Jeff Plimmer, senior lecturer in the School of Management at Victoria University, about the pay freeze and what it means for workers. I started by asking him whether the proposal surprised him when it was announced.
I didn't see it coming, and I was surprised because they are quite close to the unions, and it seemed to be quite a breach of the understanding and the relationships they had with trade union. But I can see where they were coming from, the government. And so there's a few things. There's a big uptick in pay equity procedures and claims. It's going to increase the wage rates for a lot of female-dominated occupations. And I think there's also money coming around holiday pay recalculations, where people on shift work in hospitals and so on haven't had the holiday pay adequately calculated, so that's another bill coming to the government. And there have also been changes in minimum wages increases, growth in living wages, and then just last night, sort of increases in the benefits. And so quite expensive settlements a few years ago for nurses and so on. So I'm not saying I support the pay freeze, but I can understand the mindset that led to that claim. But I think they profoundly mishandled it in trying to introduce it now after COVID, when so many public servants have been working long hours and really struggling with the demands of it. So it was, I think it was a very strong miscalculation, and I sort of sense that the government's realised that as well.
Yes, I wanted to ask about that. There was a huge public outcry when Labor announced their plan. Why do you think it got such a strong reaction? Was it because it was sort of seen as like not paying nurses enough after everything they did last year?
I think there were aspects of that, and I think also it's the Labor government, so people naturally have higher expectations of it, trade unions. And I think although there have been increases in wage rates for some of those occupations like teachers and nurses, they still understandably want and argue for more, often with good reasons, particularly if they look at international comparisons of what they can make overseas and so on. So the impression I get is there was an expectation from the trade unions that a Labor government wouldn't try and impose a freeze. It was also quite poorly communicated because, I mean, a lot of people were already on collective agreements and that guaranteed pay rises and increment adjustments over the next few years, and they weren't affected. And other people would have had employment agreements, either individual or collective, that entitled them to a reconsideration of their wages based on merit, on performance, maybe within a broadband system. And that's more affected by the budget and other issues rather than sort of what's really only guideline from the government around negotiating collective agreements.
So do you think it's seen as this huge pay freeze, but it's potentially not as severe as it was made out to be?
Possibly, yes. And I think announcing that there's a pay freeze when you're expecting to go up another step in the increment, which people are legally entitled to. I mean, the government would have to override existing legal agreements to really stop that happening, which they never do. So I think part of the language of the press release and the communications didn't always clearly convey that. And some of the media reporting, too, I feel was a little bit not capturing all the nuances of it. Maybe it was technically accurate in some ways, but a lot of public servants are going to get the increments up salary scales that they're legally entitled to, as has already been agreed in the next few years.
And so when you were mentioning the public's expectations of the Labor government, we sort of expect them to promote workers' wages. Do you think some of the negative backlash against the public sector could be balanced out by the budget announcement yesterday that a large amount of benefits would increase? Is that sort of going back to more conventional labor routes, perhaps?
In some ways, but also, if you look at some of the occupations that were most affected, say teachers or nurses, a lot of them are paid sort of between $60,000 and $100,000, where they were told they were going to have very serious constraints. So it was targeted at working people who were already getting a lot with increases in the minimum wage and so on. And there's a lot of struggling people in the middle, such as teachers and nurses, where you can sort of rise up to, I think, sort of 80 or 90, who were understandably distressed that their collective agreements weren't going to get them more with inflation and the demands of COVID and so on like that.
The National Party said they were concerned this sort of freeze with the higher level pay could potentially drive some people in the public sector either to the private sector or even overseas to Australia or something like that. Is this a concern?
I think it's always been a concern. For instance, if you look at the health sector, say senior medical specialists, doctors, Australian rates are quite a bit higher than what they are in New Zealand. and it is for a lot of occupations. And those labour markets are very international. People do move around the world. If you go to a hospital, you'll find a lot of people from overseas and so on. So I think there was a legitimate concern to raise that, in a sense, I don't think New Zealand can always match overseas rates, but it needs to have a good try at doing so. So again, I was surprised. I was surprised at that. But I suspect that that also would have been resolved in the collective negotiations too, which were only guidelines.
And in terms of incentivizing people to stay in New Zealand, is that simply just paying them more? Is there anything else you can do?
You can pay them more. I think that's a large component of it. I mean, one option would be to improve management standards. New Zealand management, in international comparisons, New Zealand quality of management is not always very high. It's not terrible, but it's not that high. There is scope to do that, particularly in the public sector, and that would make a difference. Maybe not, it wouldn't be the solution, but it would stop people necessarily leaving. You know, when their organization's dysfunctional, their boss isn't up to the job or not very nice, they might add into their calculation of whether to stay or whether to go.
I have one other question. Have pay freezes by the government worked historically? Is there a lot of precedent for this, and is it going to help New Zealand's debt, as the Labour government have claimed?
I can't really answer that. I mean, even the government hadn't done calculations on how much they would save, which again, it says to me that the decision was sort of made on the fly without a lot of consideration, and that's reflected in how off key it was and how badly it went down. So obviously, if you hold wages down, you will save some money, you know, on the tangible expenses on your wage bill. But there are probably other costs as well. If people don't get treated for cancer and so on, that maybe the cost would come out in some other way that perhaps doesn't show up on a balance sheet quite as tidily.
And talking about slightly on the fly from the government, do you think that explains why there is a backtrack on their policy?
Oh, I think so, definitely. I think the government knows, and it's acknowledged with varying degrees of candor, depending on their audience, how much they got it wrong. And, you know, that it was miscalculated, possibly rushed, and it was trying to carry on the wage constraint that they put out last year, which was in the height of the COVID crisis, and they thought they could do it again this year, and obviously it went down very poorly. So I think they've realized that they broke the implicit understanding they had with some of their larger stakeholders, such as trade unions.
That was Dr. Jeff Plimmer from Victoria University on the government's pay freeze of many workers in the public sector.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.